Imagine for a second that you are an architect
Okay.
and you spend years, I mean, maybe a full decade, just meticulously drawing up blueprints for this incredibly unique, beautiful house.
Right, sweating all the detail.
Exactly. You obsess over every single angle. You calculate the load-bearing walls. You pick out like the exact grain of wood for the entry doors.
Oh, yeah.
It all comes from your specific vision, your late nights, your sweat equity.
It's your life's work, basically.
Totally. And then overnight, someone just sneaks into your office, runs your blueprints through a scanner, and by the next morning, they have built a massive, sprawling subdivision using your exact design.
Wow.
And they don't pay you a single dime. They don't even, put your name on a plaque anywhere.
I mean, that is a visceral, deeply unsettling image,
Right.
but it perfectly encapsulates the sheer sense of violation that creators all over the globe are waking up to every single day right now.
Which is really the exact tension driving our deep dive today.
Right.
We're looking at a press release from June 30th, 2026.
Yeah.
And it announces the launch of a new initiative called Protect the Film IP.
By a company named Instant IP, right?
Yeah, exactly. And the mission of this deep dive is to really tear into this massive escalating friction between artificial intelligence and human creativity.
Specifically within the film industry.
Right. And to examine how creators are finally, building the infrastructure to fight back and lock down their intellectual property.
Because we are looking at arguably the most defining conflict in the creative arts of our generation.
Yeah.
This isn't just, some dispute over copyright law. It is a battle over the core of how human culture gets made.
How it gets valued.
Exactly. And ultimately, who gets to profit from the imagination?
I want you, the listener, to just think about your own brain for a moment.
Good point.
Think about those pitches you've put together for work, the creative concepts you've brainstormed,
The strategies you've built up over years.
right? Years of trial and error in your field. What happens when the fundamental value proposition of human thought just changes?
Because a machine can scrape the entire output of your lived experience in fractions of a second.
Right.
It completely destabilizes the creative economy. I mean, from top to bottom.
So let's look at the specific claims being made here by Cary Oberbrunner. He's the CEO of Instant IP.
Yeah, let's get into it.
According to the source material, the threat to Hollywood is not some like abstract futuristic worry about Terminator robots or
Yeah,
whatever.
right. It's not sci-fi.
No, it is actively happening right now. AI companies are scraping scripts, story concepts, actors' performances, raw video footage, even entire built-out story worlds.
Just taking it.
Just taking it. And they're doing all of this without consent, without attribution, and without any form of compensation to the original artists.
What's fascinating here is that Oberbrunner's stance is actually incredibly nuanced for someone leading this charge.
How so?
Well, when you dive into conflicts like this, you typically expect a very binary, almost Luddite reaction from the artistic community.
Like technology is inherently evil, smash the machines.
Exactly. But in the text, Oberbrunner explicitly states that AI is not bad.
Right.
He actually uses artificial intelligence himself.
Yeah, he's completely embedded in the tech world. He isn't anti-innovation at all.
The distinction he is making is strictly about the methodology of that innovation.
Right, the how.
Yeah. He views AI as a powerful, world-changing tool. But he draws a hard line at labeling the blatant, unauthorized ingestion of filmmakers' lifelong work as, quote, innovation.
Yeah, that makes sense.
To him, a technological advancement built on a foundation of uncompensated labor isn't a breakthrough, it's an extraction scheme.
Okay, wait, hold on. Because I hear this defense from the tech industry constantly,
Yeah.
and we really need to wrestle with it.
Sure, lay it out.
If I, as a human being, sit down and I binge watch 100 classic sci-fi movies, right?
Right.
And I absorb all those pacing structures, the lighting choices, the dialogue tropes, and then I sit at my laptop and write my own original sci-fi script, we celebrate that.
Oh, absolutely.
We call it inspiration. We call it art. Every great artist steals from their predecessors.
Sure.
So why is it suddenly considered theft when a machine does the exact same thing? What is the actual mechanical difference?
Okay, so that is the ultimate defense mechanism of the AI industry. They anthropomorphize their software.
Right, making it sound human.
Yeah, they claim the machine is learning or getting inspired just like a person. But if we break down the mechanics, the difference is massive. It really comes down to scale, speed, and the fundamental nature of the processing.
Unpack that a bit.
When a human watches 100 movies, they are passing that visual and narrative information through the filter of their lived experience.
Right.
They filter it through their personal traumas, their joys, their physical understanding of the world. It takes a lifetime to process, and the output is uniquely colored by their humanity.
Right. Like, I write a scene about a breakup differently because I've actually experienced the heartbreak of a breakup, not just because I watched it on screen.
Exactly. Now contrast that with a large language model. When an AI scrapes a billion data points in an afternoon, it is not feeling inspired.
No.
It is mathematically mapping the statistical probability of which word or which pixel comes next, based directly on the stolen labor of humans.
Wow.
It doesn't understand heartbreak. It just understands the vector proximity of the word tears to the word goodbye.
That's chilling, honestly.
A human learns a concept to create something new. An AI creates a derivative mathematical mirror of existing data.
And the sheer volume of that ingestion completely shatters the normal social contract of art.
How do you mean?
Well, a human writer might be heavily influenced by, I don't know, a dozen of their favorite contemporaries.
Sure.
An AI model is simultaneously scraping the collective output of an entire global industry, digesting it, and instantly generating a product that directly competes in the marketplace with the very people it just scraped.
Yes, that is the critical pivot point. Inspiration doesn't scale to a billion parameters a second.
No, it doesn't.
When you operate at that speed and volume without consent, it ceases to be inspiration. It becomes industrial extraction.
Which makes perfect sense when you look at Oberbrunner's personal story in the text.
Yeah, his background is super relevant here.
For him, this entire initiative isn't just a theoretical legal battle. It is deeply personal.
Right.
He is a Wall Street Journal and USA Today best-selling author. And he actually discovered that several of his own books had been quietly fed into these massive AI training data sets.
I mean, imagine the psychological impact of that.
It's got to be devastating.
You spend thousands of hours agonizing over the structure of a book, researching, editing, pouring your perspective onto the page.
Yeah.
And then you realize tech companies just treated your life's work as raw, anonymous biomass to fuel their algorithm.
And it gets even more blatant. The source notes, he also found out that a TEDx talk he delivered was reproduced almost word for word in an AI-generated article.
Which completely dismantles the AI is just getting inspired argument. Because if the system was truly synthesizing concepts to create original thought, it wouldn't be regurgitating a TEDx talk verbatim.
Right.
That is an act of simple retrieval and repackaging.
Okay, let's unpack this, because this leads us to a highly critical technical concept mentioned in the source material.
Yes.
And it is absolutely vital for understanding where the future of this technology is actually heading.
It really is.
Oberbrunner points to the looming threat of something called model collapse.
This is perhaps the most significant vulnerability in the current trajectory of artificial intelligence.
Okay.
And it fundamentally changes the power dynamic between machines and human creators.
The best way to visualize model collapse is to think back to the old days of office copiers.
Oh, good analogy.
Right. So you take a crisp original document and make a photocopy.
Okay.
The copy looks pretty good, but then you lose the original.
Oh.
So when you need another copy, you make a photocopy of the photocopy.
Right.
And the photocopy of that photocopy. You repeat this cycle 50 times. By the end, the text is completely illegible. The crisp lines have turned into a blurry, degraded gray mess.
That is a perfect mechanical analogy for what is happening inside large language models right now.
Really?
Yeah. If we look at the why behind this phenomenon, we have to understand how AI training works.
Okay.
Up until now, these models have feasted on the pristine, original data of the human internet. Decades worth of books, articles, forums, films.
The good stuff.
Exactly. But the internet is now being rapidly flooded with AI-generated text, AI-generated images, and AI video.
So the new AI models coming out next year are inevitably going to start scraping the internet and accidentally ingesting data that was created by the AI models from last year.
Precisely. They are consuming their own synthetic exhaust.
Yuck.
And when an algorithm trains on algorithmic output, it inherently begins to amplify its own errors and biases.
Because it's not real life.
Right. Human data is full of weirdness, outliers, unpredictable spikes of creativity. That variance is what makes it valuable.
It's messy.
Yeah. AI, by its mathematical nature, favors the most probable average outputs.
Okay.
So when an AI trains on AI data, it continually averages out the average. It loses the nuance. This statistical distribution completely collapses inward on itself.
So the machine literally becomes a less capable, more generic version of itself. It degrades.
It degrades rapidly. Which brings us to a massive revelation.
What's that?
AI desperately needs fresh, human-created data to survive.
Wow.
It cannot exist in a closed loop. It requires a constant, massive injection of original, unpredictable human thought to keep the models from collapsing into that blurry gray mess.
This flips the entire narrative on its head.
It really does.
Because we are constantly told that human creativity is this quaint, outdated thing that AI is inevitably going to replace.
Right, they were obsolete.
But the reality of model collapse means human creativity is the essential, irreplaceable fuel that the AI engine requires to function.
Human creators aren't becoming obsolete. They are becoming the single most critical, high-value component of the digital supply chain.
That's wild.
And that is exactly why Oberbrenner is arguing that this original creative work needs to be aggressively protected and properly valued.
Especially high-fidelity data like film scripts and video.
Exactly. Not just strip mine for free.
Because the AI companies need it more than the creators need the AI.
Yes.
And that brings us to an incredibly poignant example from the text. Here's where it gets really interesting.
Oh, the short film. Yes.
Yeah. Oberbrenner recently served as an executive producer on a short film called Father Figure. It's directed by a Christian filmmaker named Luke Siebert.
Such a fascinating case study.
When you look at the plot of this film compared to what is happening to it in the real world, I mean, the meta-narrative is just staggering.
The layers of philosophical irony here are rich. Let's look at the premise of the film itself.
Okay, so Father Figure centers around a terminally ill father.
Right.
He receives this devastating diagnosis. He knows he is going to die. And he is desperately trying to spare his family from the unbearable grief of his impending absence.
A very human reaction.
Yeah. So he makes a drastic choice. He goes out and purchases a synthetic double.
A robot version of himself.
A highly advanced machine designed to look, sound, and act exactly like him. Intending for it to seamlessly take his place after he passes away.
It is a profound exploration of the boundaries of humanity, but the emotional core of the film hinges on the interaction between the dying man and the machine attempting to learn his life.
Right. As this synthetic double follows him around, observing his mannerisms, trying to mimic his essence, the father experiences a profound realization.
What does he realize?
He sees that his own deeply flawed, genuine human presence is completely irreplaceable.
Wow.
The machine can copy his voice and his face, but no matter how advanced the programming, it fundamentally cannot replicate a human soul.
The message of the film champions the irreplaceable, intangible nature of genuine human connection, emotion, and imperfection.
And the irony is just dripping off of this.
It's unbelievable.
You have a group of filmmakers who poured their hearts into making a deeply moving movie about a machine failing to replace a human soul.
Yeah.
And now, in the real world, those exact same creators are having to actively defend the script, the raw footage, and the story world of that film from actual real-world machines that are attempting to scrape their data to eventually replace human filmmakers.
Life is entirely imitating art here.
It's insane.
The protagonist of the film is wrestling with the exact same existential and philosophical battle as the director and producers of the film.
And we should note, this isn't just some obscure passion project shot in a backyard.
Not at all.
The source release specifically points out that Father Figure was selected for the LA Shorts International Film Festival.
Which is a big deal.
That is a massive achievement because LA Shorts is an Oscar qualifying festival.
Which highlights why this specific data is so coveted. This isn't just, you know, a random Reddit comment being scraped. This is Oscar caliber intellectual property.
Yeah, it's the top tier.
It is highly structured, emotionally resonant, high fidelity human data. This is the exact premium fuel that an AI company developing a text-to-video generation model desperately needs to avoid model collapse.
So if you were Carrie Oberbrunner and Luke Siebert, how do you actually protect it?
That's the multi-million dollar question.
Because saying we need to stop tech giants from stealing our stuff is a great moral stance. Yeah. But moral outrage is not a legal defense.
Exactly.
How do you actually enforce ownership against a machine that moves at the speed of light?
Well, this is where we have to transition from the philosophical problem to the mechanical solution.
Okay.
Because you can't fight an algorithmic swarm with traditional copyright paperwork that takes months to file. You need technological infrastructure.
And according to the release, that is exactly what Instant IP provides through the Protect the Film Initiative.
Right.
They use a blockchain-based system to lock down the intellectual property.
Now, wait.
Yeah.
Whenever the word blockchain comes up, people immediately think of cryptocurrency and their eyes glaze over.
Oh, for sure.
But we need to explain how this actually functions for a filmmaker because it's brilliant.
We can bypass all the crypto jargon entirely.
Let's do it.
And look purely at the cryptographic mechanism, specifically something called hashing.
Yes. Explain the hash because that's the magic trick here.
Okay, so when a filmmaker finishes a script, they don't upload the actual text of the script to a public blockchain where anyone can read it.
That would defeat the whole purpose.
Right. Instead, the Instant IP system runs the digital file of that script through a complex mathematical algorithm.
Okay.
This algorithm spits out a unique, fixed-length string of letters and numbers. That string is the hash.
It's like a digital fingerprint for that specific file.
Precisely. If you change even a single comma in that 120-page script, the algorithm will generate a completely different fingerprint.
Wow.
So instead of making the script public, the system takes that unique fingerprint and permanently embeds it into the blockchain ledger, along with a timestamp and the creator's identity.
So you generate an undeniable tamper-proof mathematical record.
Yes.
That proves, without a shadow of a doubt, that you possessed this specific exact file at the specific second in time.
All without ever revealing the actual story to the public.
It creates an immutable chain of custody.
Which is huge.
And the press release notes that Instant IP has designed this process to be fast, simple, and incredibly affordable.
Right.
To drive adoption, they are currently offering a free IP credit to film professionals, whether you're an actor, director, writer, or editor.
That's awesome.
Yeah, you can claim it by going to instantip.today/film.
If we connect this to the bigger picture of the film industry, this represents a fundamental psychological shift in how creators must operate.
Absolutely.
There's a quote from Oberbrunner in the text that I think is like the most vital takeaway of this entire deep dive.
Let's hear it.
He says, "You do not protect your IP when you are big. You become big by protecting your IP."
I mean, that single sentence completely dismantles the traditional Hollywood mindset.
It really does. Because historically, the psychology of the aspiring creator is driven by pure desperation.
Right? You just want to get noticed.
You spend months writing a script.
Yeah.
And you just want someone, anyone to read it.
You blind email it to producers.
You upload it to screenwriting forums.
Yeah.
You leave it totally unprotected because you suffer from imposter syndrome. Mm. You think, I don't have anything worth stealing yet. I'll worry about lawyers and copyrights after I get my big break.
You operate under the assumption that obscurity is a shield.
Right.
But in the age of AI, obscurity is exactly what algorithms prey on.
It's a gold mine for them.
If you leave your ideas unprotected on a forum or in an unsecured digital portfolio, they will be vacuumed up and integrated into a generative model long before a human producer ever lays eyes on them.
So your desperate attempt to get noticed by a human just gets you harvested by a machine.
Which means the old rule of waiting for permission to be valuable is fatal now.
Yeah.
Oberbrunner is arguing that creators must adopt a defensive posture immediately. You have to lock down your ideas at what he brilliantly calls the speed of thought.
The speed of thought. I love that phrase.
It's perfect.
The moment that script is done, the moment that concept art is rendered, you hash it, you stamp it, you lock it down.
Immediately.
It establishes an absolute perimeter around your imagination before the algorithms even know it exists.
Because your ideas are no longer just potential movies hoping to be made.
What are they?
They are currently the most high-value data points in a trillion-dollar technological arms race.
Wow. Okay, let's just take a breath and summarize the massive journey we've been on today.
It's a lot to take in.
We started by looking at this existential threat. AI systems indiscriminately vacuuming up the collective creativity of the global film industry.
Right.
We broke down the mechanics of why that is happening. And the looming, very real danger of model collapse if those AI systems are starved of fresh, original human ideas.
We unpacked the incredible poetic irony of a film like Father Figure.
Yeah, defending its deeply humanistic message from the very synthetic machines it critiques. And finally, we looked at the tangible, tactical solution. Using cryptographic hashing and blockchain technology to empower creators to establish undeniable mathematical ownership of their work at the speed of thought.
which is a complete paradigm shift.
Huge.
From being a passive victim of technology to actively utilizing technology to defend your human rights.
It moves the creator from a posture of desperation to a posture of unassailable leverage.
So true.
And I want to remind you, the listener, of Kerry Oberbrunner's final resounding warning in this press release.
It's a powerful one.
He says, "Do not settle for being a consumer in a world of creators."
Wow.
He challenges you to protect your published thoughts, then promote them, profit from them, and create again.
Words to live by.
I want you to genuinely reflect on how you treat the output of your own brain.
Right.
Are you treating your strategies, your pitches, and your art with the aggressive respect they deserve?
Or are you just leaving the doors to your architectural firm wide open?
Exactly. For anyone or anything to come in and harvest whatever they want.
It is a fundamental question of agency in the digital age.
Yeah.
Are you going to be the architect of your own future? Or are you simply going to be the raw material for someone else's algorithm?
And that leads me to one final provocative thought I want to leave you with today.
Okay.
Just a scenario to mull over based on everything we've uncovered. We have clearly established that AI absolutely relies on a constant stream of fresh human data to survive.
Yes, or it collapses.
If it doesn't get that data, it suffers from model collapse and mathematically degrades.
Right.
We also know that tools like Instant IP now exist to cryptographically timestamp and lock down human imagination.
So what's the scenario?
So what if it actually worked? Mm-hmm. What if, starting tomorrow morning, every single creator on Earth, every screenwriter, every journalist, every novelist, and every concept artist.
Everyone.
What if they all woke up and suddenly started encrypting and locking down every single original thought, script, and article before publishing it?
That would be wild.
What happens to the rapid evolution of artificial intelligence if the data goal suddenly runs completely dry?
They'd panic.
Does the trillion-dollar machine simply starve to death in an echo chamber of its own synthetic data?
Or does it force a change?
Right. Does that massive data drought finally force the giant tech conglomerates to come to the table and build a genuinely ethical economy?
Yeah.
Where human imagination is actually bought, licensed, and paid for?
It's a fascinating thought.
Think of those blueprints. What happens to the subdivision when the architect finally changes the locks?
They're going to have to start paying the architect.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. We will see you next time.